True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Big show today. Jordan Mailata joins us at 4, and every Tuesday at 3, we are joined by the one and only from the Go Birds podcast, Elliot Shore Parks.
What up?
Hey, Elliot. How are you?
Long time no see.
Yes.
What, Me, you, and Jordan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Less than 24
yes.
hours. Yeah. So, and by the way, Jordan Mailata show is going to be fun.
It was awesome.
We had our first one yesterday. It was not on the air. It was just on YouTube because of the Phillies game, but they will be there 6 o'clock, Chickies and Pete's every Monday, Jordan Mailata show.
No, I love how honest he is. I mean, he talked, I thought, very honestly about Jalen Hurts being more open this year, Sirianni and messaging. So, no, it was very good.
So, before we get to the Eagles, I want to get your take on our Phillies topic here. So
I got a little preview of it.
Yeah, did you? Yeah. Well, what do you think?
Lay it out for me.
So my supposition is this, is that like this has been a much better season than they get credit for. They've had a ton of adversity, a ton of injuries. Rob Thompson has adjusted. Trey Turner has adjusted. Like they have done things that they're playing their best baseball at the end of the year. And like, I want them to win the World Series. That is obviously the goal, but I think it can be a successful season even if they don't win the World Series. And I'm not even going to put around on it because I think they could get to the NLCS and they could go out like chumps in the NLCS and then I'll be upset, or they could have a great NLDS and obviously I'll be upset, but like, I don't know. So I
think there's some truth to what you're saying. I think they have shown a little more ability to deal with adversity this year than they have in past years. I think Schwarber's obviously been awesome. Sanchez, I think you feel way better about him now than you did at the beginning of the year. But like this year is mostly been irrelevant until the playoffs. Like, it just doesn't truly matter. They have entered Sixers territory where I did this with the Sixers, where it's like they're winning 50 plus games. Look at this great win at Boston. Like, you know, but, and it just doesn't matter. Like, it only matters what they do in the postseason. And if they don't go to at least the championship round, and even then, like, they have to advance the championship, if not the World Series. And if not, like, I think you have to blow it up, basically. Like, you don't re-sign Schwarber. You have to consider making a lot of moves. Like, especially if they lose in the nature they have the past few years, which is the bats going cold. If that happens again, then I cannot run it back with this same team. So it's been fun aspects of the year, but it's certainly not has not been a year where I'm like, oh, look how great this all is.
The Braves basically had the same core with minor adjustments for what, like 15 years? And they only won one World Series, but they kept coming back again and again and again.
How much fun was that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't a Braves fan.
Well, I'm just saying,
if you were,
you imagine winning one World Series with all that talent in 15 years?
Well, I would also, and I honestly don't remember the specifics of the Braves, but like the Phillies, the Phillies are an old team. Like a lot of their best players are old. And Schwarber being a free agent is a critical part of this. If Schwarber wasn't a free agent, I wouldn't be sitting here and saying, you have to trade him. Like, but he is. So you have to decide whether you double down on him. And because of that, like, while this year has been fun and Schwarber's been unbelievable, I'm just not going to care at all unless they do anything in the postseason.
I don't think whether they win the World Series. I don't think you can make a decision whether to blow it up based on whether they win the World Series.
I think you absolutely have to.
No. I mean, if they win the World Series, you have to make a decision on Kyle Schwarber based on your other options and how much he's getting paid and the next 5 years of Phillies baseball. You're against what they did with Saquon, right? Giving him money as a thank you.
Yes.
Okay, so I don't want to give Kyle Schwarber.
That's an awesome move.
I don't want to give Kyle Schwarber money as a thank you. I want to give him money because I think he's going to be good the next 3 years. So if they win the World Series, if they don't win the World Series, they should operate the exact same way.
So I disagree because of the fact that they have had the same core together for a few years. And I get your point that you have to view the Schwarber thing in a vacuum to an extent. Like, it's only about Schwarber. But we all know if they bring back Trey Turner, Schwarber, Bryce Harper, Stott, I think Boehm and Castellanos are probably gone. So that'll be some level of a vibe change. But
Boehm will be here.
Yeah, unless they can't trade him, true. But the top of the lineup more than likely will be pretty similar if they bring Schwarber back. It'll be the main guys. And I just think the vibes would be so horrendous if they have an early exit again where the bats go cold. And by the way, as good as Schwarber has been, he still has something to prove as well. He didn't have a good series against the Mets last year.
He did not.
So everyone out there pay him, pay him. I think it's been correct not to pay Schwarber. I would absolutely wait until after the postseason to see whether you want to sign him, whether his playoff impacts his market. But to your point, no, they fully, fully, fully have to have a good postseason for this to be viewed as any level of success.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Ultimately, I'm starting to get a sense that they're going to move on from probably most guys with the exception of JT, right?
If they are JT, man.
Well, I mean, I don't even know if they have. Are you ready to go to Marshawn as our regular catcher?
No, the only rumor has been the Orioles catcher they might trade for.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So that's going to cost you prospects.
Something. Play. Yeah.
Is he any good?
He's a good player. Yeah. You know, he's 30 years old.
He's been a huge bust. Yeah. Adley?
No.
Is he better than JT?
No.
The Orioles guy?
Yeah. The other guy.
Adley Rutschman?
Rutschman, yeah.
Yeah, he's been a huge boss. I mean, he's fine. But, yes. He's supposed to be Buster Posey. He's not Buster Posey.
So my only thing is saying this. If they've already decided, which they could, putting everything on this team this year to go out and win it, we're talking about Aiden Miller. We're talking about Crawford. We're talking about Andrew Painter. All those guys being up here next year. That says we're not trying to win. That says we're beginning a rebuilding process. Because you're not going to win anything with those young players next year. They haven't even been proven as major leaguers yet, let alone a World Series type of a team. So if they decide that that's what they want to do for cost-cutting purposes, right, bring up the cheaper, younger talent and spread it around because they don't want to pay Schwarber, they don't want to pay Ranger Suarez, they don't want to pay JT, then that puts even more pressure on them to win it this year. Because it feels like, especially with 2027 looming in the strike,
sure.
if you're an owner, they know this.
Mm-hmm.
They're already getting ready to fold pockets, save money. They're not looking to go out and give away $40 million a year knowing that they may be on a labor strike and it's going to cut into their revenue in 2027. So what a lot of these owners start doing, they start preparing. They're saying to themselves, you know what? We better start cost cutting right now because we're not going to make as much money in 27.
Well, yeah.
So I wonder if they're even going to bring Schwarber back next year and some of these guys.
Yeah, I think they'll bring Schwarber back. And by the way, I think the people talking about what he's going to cost are out of their mind. He's the 32-year-old DH. There's no way he's getting the $40 million a year.
Yeah, and we'll see. But you are paying top value for Schwarber no matter what he gets. He's a free agent, right?
Yeah.
He will sign for the most money he can get more than likely.
Yeah, I think so.
And you're also paying after he's having his best year ever. He's going to be a year older. I know he's a DH, so they age better. He's not playing defense. He's just a home run hitter. The Schwarber re-sign to me has disaster written all over it. Great year this year. Give him a ton of money for 3 years. I'm just being honest.
Re-signing
old players is almost never a good decision.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I just think what they do in the playoffs has nothing to do with whether they sign Kyle Schwarber.
So, I mean, I just think it does. Because if they go to the World Series or the NLCS, and let's say they lose in seven and it's a great series in the NLCS,
sure.
Then I think you can feel good, right?
Sure.
But this is still...
I agree with Spike.
Why would you... I don't understand. You're saying because they had a good playoff series, then you should make a bad financial decision for next year?
It doesn't make any sense. I agree with him on this.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that. But what I'm saying is it has an impact to me on the importance of winning this year.
Yeah,
yes.
I agree with you there.
As far as what the Phillies are going to do, I think you're right. It's not going to impact whether or not they're going to give him a 3 or 4 year deal.
I guess my point is, and I see what you're saying, that making a big decision off of 7 games is maybe not the best way to commit money. But like when they lost to the Diamondbacks, we all felt awful about them. And then they came back, we felt awful after the Mets. So there's a real chance this season ends and we're going, well, the bats went cold again. They're never going to be able to, like, they're swinging at all these bad pitches. And then at that point, I know you're in a certain degree maybe hurting Schwarber more than he's, you know, more than you should off of one thing. But I just can't bring back the same core. I can't do it. Not if 3 straight years it's been really ugly postseason losses.
The Sixers have tried to double down.
Right, but we're also mischaracterizing. You're saying 22 was a really ugly.
Yes, they lost six. It was one of the worst.
That was not ugly.
Losing six and seven. No, sorry.
About 23.
Yeah, 23. Yeah, my bad. Okay. 23, 24, and now 25. Okay. Yeah. My apologies.
All right, let's get to
they
the Eagles.
They did get no hit.
I think Jack's going to have a
please
heart
talk
attack.
About that. Okay.
I don't know what Jack could disagree with.
Ban baseball talk.
So before we get to Tank Bigsby, I need to bring up, Corey asked that we bring up your tweet from this morning.
Which one?
Well, you know the
why'd one. Why'd your voice just feel like you lost something there?
I don't know. Maybe I was far from the mic.
You said a loss on Sunday is an acceptable loss.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
It's absolutely acceptable.
You're 100% right, Elliot.
So unless you're telling me...
So the Phillies can't lose, but the Eagles can.
No.
All right.
What I'm saying is, unless you're telling me Sunday is going to change how you feel about them or that they have something to prove on Sunday, the Phillies have something to prove. The Eagles going into this game, if they lose to Kansas City 24-21, it's a close game. They're playing a Chiefs team that is desperate for a win, that never loses their home opener, that Mahomes has like lost back-to-back games like 3 or 4 times in his career. He's never lost 3 straight games. Everything is stacked against them. So you can go in there, and if you lose a competitive game, that's fine.
Everything is stacked against them, aside from having by far the more talented roster.
Yeah, but that does not always matter, especially early in the year. Like, it is a situational thing, right? Like, the Chiefs have the better situation here because they need it. They're at home. It's the home opener. For what it's worth, they still do have Mahomes and Andy, so it's not like they're devoid of talent. They have Trent McDuffie, Christian. Like, they have good players.
They don't have any receivers.
And they just got skewered by
That makes
Herbert.
It harder. The fact that they're coming off a loss is what makes me feel this way. I think winning that game on Sunday would be so incredibly impressive, and it's a perfectly acceptable loss. If they go there and they lose, I'm not going to come out of there and be like, this team's soft. The Jalen can't win a big game. They can't beat the Chiefs. Like, none of those things are true. So if you go and you compete and you lose, I'm good with that. If they get blown out, that's different, right? I wouldn't feel good about that.
Okay.
But if you go there and you compete with the Chiefs and you lose a close game in a game that the Chiefs have to have, it's absolutely an acceptable loss. I would even say it's an encouraging performance if they go and only lose by 3.
Oh, my goodness.
It's true. It's a completely new team. If they can go into a really tough environment against a team that's coming up going...
What's a completely new team?
This 2025 team. Like, they're forming a new team. Like, I know there are a lot of the same players. No, I'm being honest.
They have the exact same personnel.
Not on defense, they don't. Not on defense, they don't.
I'm combined 22 starters.
Yeah, on offense, they do. I agree.
Yes. Well, what is it? 4 new defensive players? 3 new defensive players?
It's most of the secondary. It's, I think, every defensive lineman besides Carter.
It's half the secondary.
One new secondary player.
It's 2.
No, Makubu is playing half the snaps with Sydney.
No, I'm saying based off last year, they have 2 new starters in the secondary.
But the players have been here, though. They're in the same system.
Oh, I get what you're saying. The Sidney Brown, your
county
is returning.
Yes, they're in the same system.
Okay.
They're not new players. They all have rings. They got rings for last year. They all contributed.
They do.
So they've all been here. Like Tyler Steen, he started games. He's been here for several years.
Yeah.
He doesn't get to be counted as a new player on offense.
No, but he is a new starter.
I don't give a damn about that.
It does matter to me. Like, this team is...
Why does it matter?
Because this team
is... They won a Super Bowl with a new right guard starter.
They did last year.
It's a good point.
That's my point. So why does it matter?
But they lost week 2 last year, and they started 2-2, and they still won the Super Bowl.
What I'm talking about is the overall performance of the team.
Yes.
And that they have one new starter on offense who's been here for, 3 or 4 years now under the same coaching system. They basically brought back the same offense.
Right. Okay. We don't have to get bogged down in this. You're right. Okay. It is mostly the same.
Defensively, they got a few new players, right? They weren't here.
Right.
It's not acceptable. Now, it doesn't mean that if they lose, the season is over with. But It's nowhere on green on this earth that I'm okay or any Eagles fan should be okay at the end of that game if they lose to the Chiefs. The standards are different. Mm-hmm. This nonsense of they're the Chiefs, you're going to Arrowhead and Patrick Mahomes, all this nonsense, nobody care about that.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
We just put boots to ass in the Super Bowl against this same team, if not a better team then. So it wasn't about Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and all that stuff when it was 40-6. It wasn't. So I want to see a better performance than what I saw last week from this Eagles team. I gave them a pass last week, coming out looking choppy, defense getting shredded because their best player wasn't on the field. Mm. Passing game looked more like it did for 90% of last year versus what it looked like the two or three times we saw it look fluid. Passing game didn't look like that Thursday night.
I agree.
They come out there Sunday playing that way, they will lose. That's not acceptable. You mean to tell me another 150-yard passing performance is going to be okay with everybody?
I'm saying
A.J. Brown getting one target, that's going to be okay?
No, I'm saying the performance on Sunday is what's important to me. The final score is not. If they go out there and the offense looks good, right, but Adoree's getting torched, and Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes, and Andy Reid is, you know, shows why he's one of the best coaches of all time, and Chris Jones dominates, like, I'm okay
why
with
is it
that.
Okay? Why?
Because the Chiefs
why?
The Chiefs need it more.
I don't give a damn. That,
but
no,
it matters.
They don't.
It matters.
Need it more.
No, no, the
Hold
Chiefs
on.
Need it more. If they go to 0-2, the Chiefs' mystique is donezo.
Who cares about the Chiefs? I'm worried about
but
the Eagles.
But that's important. That's
no,
who
it's
they're
not.
Playing.
It's, no, it's
it
not
is
the
important.
No, the Chiefs are in the way. They're on the schedule.
Yeah, it's a big roadblock.
I'm talking about having a number one seed in the NFC.
Correct.
Making sure the championship game is played here. When you play teams that you're better than and you're supposed to beat them, then beat them. You don't give away wins just because you're on the road. How about putting a nail in the Chiefs' coffin?
That would be great.
Then go out there and do that. So go
but you
into
don't
a
have
game.
To. That's the no, point I'm making.
No, no. Is the That's all subjective. What I'm saying is the mindset going into this game should be to win it.
I agree.
Not that it's okay to lose.
I agree with that.
That's the point I'm
I agree
making.
The mindset should be to win.
You're trying to poison this fan
no,
base
I'm not.
Mind
I'm
with your
saying
nonsense
the Rams,
that it's okay
the Rams
to lose
game,
Sunday.
The Rams game, more important. The Bucks game
they're
the week
all
after.
Important.
No, but they're not. They're not all weighted equally. Like the Rams game could have major impact on if you get the one seed. The Bucks could also do that. The Chiefs are an AFC opponent. on the road. Like, yes, I agree. They should win. The Chiefs roster is not as good as the Eagles roster.
I think the
Chiefs have like five excellent players.
Mm-hmm.
But, and this is where it sounds we disagree, I do think the spot of a game matters. Like, where it comes up on
the
schedule.
This is where you get the Chiefs. They are at their weakest. They just lost Xavier Worthy.
But that makes them stronger. Right?
He's
14-4 coming off a loss. He's 6-1 in week 2, 6-1 in home openers. He's never lost three straight.
He still needs players. He can't do it by himself.
Agreed.
That's a lot of stuff that was done in the past. That's a lot of stuff that was done in the past. This is an offense that's been pedestrian for 2 years. He's averaged the fewest amount of points of his career over the last two seasons.
Yep.
Barely 22 points a game. 1 year, 20 points a game. Mm-hmm. So this isn't Patrick Mahomes from 3 or 4 years ago where they could put up 30 in the blink of an eye. That's not this team. So my point is, I'm not looking at conference tiebreakers and all that nonsense. What I'm looking at is you need to stack as many W's as possible. You need to stack W's. It's going to be a big game Thursday night between Green Bay and Washington. Mm-hmm. One of those two teams coming out 2-0. You better keep pace. We're trying to get the number one seed. So when you got an inferior opponent who's missing their key players, you don't give up wins like that. You make sure you stump them while they're down. They had nobody on offense. Our defense should look better this week. Their running game stinks. And I just saw Justin Herbert shred that defense with Quentin Johnston and Ladd McConkey.
So I'm not saying they should play their backups. I'm saying if they lose, it's not a big deal to me. They're not going to go 17-0, right? Like, this is a desperate opponent. Then you have the Rams the next week. Like, I'm not going in. Like, I'm fine if they lose this game. I'm not going to think less of them. I'm just being honest. I'm not going to think less of them.
I understand that. And I understand that. This is why you ride in the back seat and not in the co-pilot seat. Because I don't know. I can't take you all the time right next to me. I got to have you back here in the back seat.
Well, I feel like I'm being very honest. It sounds like it'd be a pleasure to ride next to me. I don't have high expectations.
But it's not reckless.
It is the truth. It is. If they lose this game, it's fine. As long as you compete with this Chiefs team. And you say, like, you can put the nail in the Chiefs coffin. You're right. But they're not dead yet. They still are the team that went to 3 straight Super Bowls. They're still
lose to them and keep them alive.
So I don't want to lose. I just think it's fine if they do.
Let me ask you this, Elliot. You mentioned if Dory Jackson's getting skewered all over the field, blah, blah, blah. Like, what if the game shows they lose, but it also shows their deficiencies that we're worried about?
So that would be concerning.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Why?
Because if this passing game is not good for a second straight week, I wouldn't feel great about that.
Why not?
Does that mean the pass game wasn't good on Sunday?
The pass game was not good on Thursday.
Okay.
And I think the Eagles have actually insinuated that since they've talked about taking deep shots. But what I'm saying is, it's about the performance to me.
Right.
If the pass game looks awesome and Adoree's better, but Mahomes is Mahomes and they lose, like, I'm good with that.
Oh, so that's the perfect case scenario.
Yes.
Right? So you're painting a picture where you would be okay.
My thing is,
in order for the Eagles to lose, these things would probably have to happen.
I get what you're saying.
I don't see the Eagles playing a great game and losing to the Chiefs.
Why? The Chiefs have... They win all the time. Like, I agree the Chiefs have not been as good as having
against lesser teams. They don't win all the time against the Eagles.
No, they don't. But they do win all the time against good teams, too. They did go to the Super Bowl 3 straight years. They've beaten Josh Allen, Lamar. Like, they've beaten all those guys, right?
Sure.
So, while the Chiefs are not as good as they used to be, it is certainly not like they're going to play the Jaguars. Like, this is it's a really, really, really tough spot.
Are you aware the Eagles have the Super Bowl MVP on their team?
I think they have a chance.
Yeah, you come here lowering the bar.
I'm not lowering the bar.
It's lower the bar day on the WIP.
It seems like lower the bar Tuesday.
What am I in here with, man?
Thank God for me and Ike.
This is what they mean, man.
But I think this is what it is to be a great team.
This is what Ryan Clark was talking about.
So coming up next.
You're going to broach IR?
Yeah. Coming up next, we will ask Elliot about the Eagles' newest running back, Tank Bigsby, and why all the beat writers lied about why the Eagles traded for him.
Sheep! I did not. I did.
Okay. I know. I didn't say you.
Just putting that
Sheep!
Out there.
I didn't say you.
And also go over what Jerry Jones said about the Eagles' attempt to trade for Micah Parsons and get Elliot's response on that. This is the WIP Sheep. Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Tuesdays with Elliot is here. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Experience the difference with showrooms in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. Online at marks-jewelers.com. Is One a Dead or Alive by Bon Jovi, quote, probably the best rock song of all time? Now, I'm enthused that 8.1% of the people said yes.
So that's not bad.
Well, there's a lot of rock
songs
out there.
What's it go like again? I'm sure I remember.
I'm a cowboy on the steel horse I ride, wanted dead or alive. Oh, you'd know that song.
It's definitely not the best rock song of all time.
Well, you don't even. Well,
yeah, if I don't know it off the top of my head, I feel like I can't.
But you don't know a lot.
But I know all
songs.
The best ones. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Nah. It is a. It's a good song, I guess. Oh yeah.
Dead or alive.
I didn't know those were the words.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know this one.
Walk through the streets.
What do you think this word?
Come on, Elliot.
I don't know.
With a six string on my back.
Yeah, I don't
Come
know.
Come on, Elliot.
I would sing it if I knew it.
There you go. All right. The Eagles trade a fifth and a sixth for Tank Bigsby, running back from the Jacksonville Jaguars, which was drafted 2 years ago. I did mention, when I see, and you did not do this, when I see all of the Eagles beat writers say the exact same thing at the same time, my first response is, that's a lie. So they all go, oh, this is about kick returns. And I'm like, all right, you traded a fifth and a sixth round pick for a kick returner? Probably not.
So I do think kick returning is part of it. My thing is, it's also definitely because Will Shipley's hurt.
Yes.
Like, I think if Will Shipley didn't injure his ribs against the Cowboys, they probably don't trade for Tank Bigsby.
Of course.
It's similar to when they traded for Tanner McKee, and it was, this isn't about Tanner, and then Tanner didn't play in week one. And we'll see if he, or, you know, was active.
When they traded for
one.
Sam Howell, you mean?
Yeah, Sam Howell. Yeah. My apologies.
Yeah.
So the Tank Bigsby trade.
And Shipley was the kick returner.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's obviously about Will Shipley being hurt. Yes. Why can't we all just admit it?
A fifth and a sixth is not, like, these are not high-level assets, but it is.
But it's something.
It's not like a seventh or someone you were going to cut. It is, they clearly wanted to acquire him. The kick return part of it that I will agree with, like, the sentiment is, yeah. This past weekend, I think it's clear kick return is going to be a way bigger part of the game than maybe originally thought.
Wait, why did we have a
it's a sheep.
It's a sheep. Yeah, because I guess I'm being the... Is the sheep the new worm?
Yeah.
I guess.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Because I'm saying why they did it. Yeah.
I like the sheep bit.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it'll always just be me because... yeah.
Well, here's the thing I would say.
Sorry,
I didn't know that was coming.
If I am to believe, which I do believe, the Eagles are a smart organization.
Yes,
this would imply that this is more of a reactionary move versus someone having forward thinking and understanding what the kickoff rules, the impact it would have.
Yeah,
on the league.
That's a good point.
You feel me? Like, for the Eagles, all of a sudden, like, whoa, kickoff returns are going to be big.
They matter. Yeah.
Yeah, let's trade a fifth and a sixth round pick for somebody.
I do not think they make the trade if Will Shipley doesn't get hurt.
Right.
The only point I would say is, if he ends up being a great kick returner, we saw this past weekend, if you're gonna return the ball five times a game,
sure.
That is an impactful play.
No doubt about it. Yeah. No doubt about it. But I'm saying they had a kick returner.
Agreed. Yeah.
He got injured. Yes. Right.
I'm just saying it was the best trade they've ever done.
can I say this? The Eagles over the last 5 weeks, they present as a team that did not have a good offseason.
I agree with that.
The Jacorian Bennett trade was a panic trade. The Mechie trade was a panic trade. The Zadarius Smith signing. Sam Howell was an injury.
Fred Johnson.
I don't even know why they made the Mechie trade.
Fred Johnson. For sure.
And then this, it felt like a smelling themselves offseason to me. That we can find diamonds in the rough all over the place. Look at what we just did last year. Like, we're so good at drafting, all of our draft picks are going to play. And then they get here, and you mentioned Adoree Jackson. There's not a solution there. That, you know, and Vic mentioned today that as of now, Adoree Jackson is starting on Sunday. I said, okay, let's say Adoree Jackson doesn't start. Just Jacorian Bennett is not like some guarantee that Jacorian Bennett's going to come in there. They just have a lot of holes that it seems like was poor planning
to
me.
I always thought that their plan was to address the holes on the roster at the end of training camp or in training camp with all these draft picks. The way it's different than what I thought is, I thought it would be like a third round pick for a stud corner, not five trades to fix the bottom of your roster, right? So maybe that was always their plan. That's why they have all these sixth and seventh round picks. But regardless, if you look at the offseason, I'm going to forget someone, but Jahad Campbell, like, definitely a player that I think is going to be impactful.
Sure, absolutely.
But Azeez Ojulari is a healthy scratch week one.
Yep.
He legitimately might be the most expensive healthy scratch this team's ever had in week one.
They just messed up at corner and end.
Listen, but for what it's worth, Josh Uche, I think, has been very good.
They thought Kelee Ringo would have developed more than where he's at right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of their draft picks.
Yeah.
They wanted to give him a shot. I understand that. I understand saying second year in Vic's system, he has all the measurables that you want, and he's already under contract.
Mm-hmm.
So if this means I have to let Darius Slade go, and if I have to let Isaiah Rogers
go. That's the
go,
one that hurts them.
My only point is that they have a guy here.
Yep.
They had a guy here. So, if Isaiah's here, maybe he winds up being the starter. Okay, and maybe we feel a little better. I don't know how good Isaiah is as a full-time corner.
Mm-hmm. That's
right. Some guys just play better when they only have to go out there and play 20 or 25 snaps. I'm saying at least with the corner spot, I see what they were seeing, what they tried to do there with him. The end spot is the one where I'm like, man, they could have done better than what they brought in at the end spot. Now, I'm not saying give up everything to go get Myles Garrett. They didn't want to trade him. T.J. Watt, they didn't want to trade him.
Well, who's the guy that went to Buffalo on a one-year deal?
Bosa.
Like, there were guys available.
I think they wanted Khalil Mack. He ended up costing more than they thought, he didn't actually hit free agency. Now, he effectively did, because I'm sure he knew what the offers were.
Yeah.
Sure.
But, no, I agree with that. I mean, I would have to look it up, but this has to be the most trades Howie's made in like a 9 days.
Oh, yeah, I would think so.
Just in terms of tinkering with the bottom of the roster, it feels like way more than normal for sure.
Yeah.
So, Jerry Jones.
Give him credit real quick. Give him credit for recognizing. We've seen this done in the past where they force this and go through the season with it.
Yeah.
We had, what was his name? Josh Adams as our damn running back.
Oh, yeah.
Like some of these guys we had at receiver. Grant Ward was our leading receiver. Like some of these guys.
Travis Fulgham.
Yeah, we were forced to go in the season with these guys and they didn't do anything.
Now, Travis Fulgham was awesome.
So at least give Howie credit for it. They recognize this and they're trying to fix it.
Yeah, for sure.
Look at that slop Carson had to play with. I mean,
we know that was slop.
Come on.
Also, I don't know how much this changes things where they're just going to be as good as their best players. Like, the bottom of the roster does help, and if it's better, your team is better. But they will be as good as Jalen is. They'll be as good as Jalen Carter is.
Well, the Tank Bisbee thing is different than the other guys are guys that
are
going to be heavily counted upon.
Yeah, I think yes and no. I think there are some positions, like defense is kind of like a weak link thing rather than a strong link thing. Like, there's a strong...
I don't think you can say weak link yet.
On corner?
On the whole defense.
No, what? No. Not at for
oh,
the
okay.
team.
All right.
I'm saying that they operate as a unit as only as good as their weakest link. And that's why you look around the league and you see guys like Trey Hendrickson and guys that are great defensive players on defenses that aren't that good. Because ultimately, you can do better with a defense where everybody does their job and is good, as opposed to a very top-heavy defense where you have a couple of stars. And so, ultimately, defense is weak link oriented. And right now, they have two weak links, and that's edge, and that's the cornerback spot.
Well, I also think the Eagles, like guys like Josh Uche, Adoree Jackson, to go back, like Rashad Penny, Devin White, they view them as lottery tickets. Like, you give them a few hundred thousand dollars, you bring them into camp. Now, some get more than that, but you see if they hit. Like 2017, all those lottery tickets hit. Like, their free agent class was insane.
All those guys,
Last year, I'd have to go through it, but it felt like more hit than not. This could just be a year where they miss a ton and they hold blame for that and they have to fix it. But when you're when you're paying top level players so much and you're forced to try to hit the injured pool with upside, like you're just gonna miss on a lot of those.
They are
cheap for a reason.
Okay. Let me talk about this real quick, and then we'll talk about Micah Parsons and what Jerry Jones said. So, look, the summer is essentially over, but there is next summer. And next summer, you're going to go down the shore. And what I would suggest, if you have the means to do it, instead of paying thousands of dollars to rent a shore house for a week, get your own. Adam Kasabi, the official realtor of the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast, is your realtor to get yourself a Delaware Beach home. Now, you're saying to yourself, well, it's going to sit empty most of the summer. No. You buy the Delaware Beach house, you rent it out, then you have your place to go to with your family and your friends over the summer. Also, everybody else is paying for your mortgage, and you have an investment opportunity if you haven't been to the Delaware Beaches. Far superior to Jersey. Way lower property taxes, better restaurants. You got Bethany, Lewis, Rehoboth, all those spots. And Kasabi is the guy. Kasebe. He's known at Along & Foster, as the guy, knows every nook and cranny of the Delaware beaches. So he's going to help you bid the right way to get you the house. He's going to help you find it before anybody else. When it is time, I am telling you, he is the guy. When you're ready to take the leap, you got to use Kasebe, K-S-E-B-E. You can call or text him. This is his direct cell, 302-864-8643. That's 302-864-8643. Or go to processrealtor.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Maurice's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried-and-true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
So we heard from this past weekend what the Eagles offer from Jay Glazer was for Micah Parsons. He said two firsts, a third, a fifth, and other stuff, I think he said. Jerry Jones was asked about that on our sister station in Dallas. Jerry Jones has a weekly spot there. Here's what Jerry Jones had to say.
Jerry, there was a reported offer over the weekend that Philadelphia had made in a trade for Micah. Was that a flat no, or was there a counter offer that would have been made?
No counter offer. And the interest, you know, the thought all along was to see where the interest level was. And that was very important. And from the get-go, that was an effort on our part to chum up interest. And that's a part of what was going on during those months that we were talking about Micah.
So essentially what Jerry Jones is saying here is actually similar to what I think you are saying, just in an opposite situation. Mm-hmm. He's saying they made an offer. We didn't counter because all we were trying to do was drum up interest and see what he was worth. When you have talked about it, you have said that you don't believe they would have actually traded all that stuff. So this seems like were both sides just lying?
It's funny he goes to chum up interest. Like, yeah, I'm sure it was hard to find a market for Micah Parsons.
Well, the more bidders you have, the sure. better
No, agreed,
it is.
But I can't imagine they were short of bidders.
Of course they were.
Well, but also...
You had a draft capital in the cap space.
And I guess Micah would have to want to go there to an extent. Yeah, that's fair.
And the other thing is, if you're going to trade him in the NFC and you're talking to Green Bay and you can say, hey, just so you know...
Yeah, Philly wants to offer...
The Eagles also want him, who you're trying to beat in the NFC. It certainly helps them.
So I was thinking about that where maybe it benefits the Eagles to drive up the price of what Green Bay pays. But then you also are giving Dallas more assets, so there's both sides of it. I 100% believe Howie called. I 100% believe he probably talked about an offer.
Well, didn't
and I could be wrong, but I will go to my grave thinking Howie would not have traded 2 firsts, a third, a fifth, and gave him the richest contract for a defensive player. I don't believe it. It goes against...
Well, the money is the thing.
The money is the thing, but also...
The draft picks aren't.
Well, 2 first-round picks is Howie ever traded... for
this
Carson,
is a generational
but he's not a quarterback.
I don't give a damn.
I think
Howie
does.
Well, clearly he made the call.
But I don't think that's like me going to a house and being like, "I'll give you $500,000, even though I know you're never going to take it."
So you know, I love you, but this is more or less. You're saying I believe all the evidence that's out there that the Eagles had the interest. I just don't believe they would have did it in the end.
Correct.
And I'm saying they would. So. There's more evidence to support, unless we're thinking Howie is playing games, because what if Jerry says, okay?
Well, yeah, then you could go, all right, let me think about it and call back actually, this is where we're at.
I understand with you, other than the money, why wouldn't the Eagles want Micah Parsons?
So for me, the money is definitely part of it. I think the 2 first-round picks is equally as big as the money.
No, because they're second-round picks.
They're not, though.
They are. They're high second-round picks.
They might be. Right, like no, I'm just saying, but first round picks as draft capital hold a lot of value. So my point is Howie has never traded more than 1 first-round pick for a positional player besides a quarterback. He has never invested big money in the edge position. It just goes against everything he's done. And I know we'll say, well, he signed a running back. He signed Zach Bond.
Yeah.
Those are pennies compared to what we're talking about price wise in terms of major assets. Like he did not give Saquon or
it's
Zach
the money,
Bond.
The assets,
assets really matter. 2 first-round picks is a massive investment.
They don't matter, because I'm gonna tell you why they don't matter. Because they have young talent and solidified talent everywhere on the roster. It's not like they need 13 picks to go out there to get 13 players.
Well, also, go ahead.
So getting a generational pass rusher at 25 years old, I'm willing to give up those picks. Because none of those picks are going to get me him. Where am I going to draft Micah Parsons at?
Well, Jahad Campbell does take snaps at edge.
Oh, stop.
I'm glad you brought that up. Did you watch the Green Bay game during Green Bay Detroit?
Yeah.
I know you know there's a difference between what Micah Parsons does.
Oh, for sure, right
and
now.
And what Jahad.
Yeah.
When does Jahad Campbell ever look like
no,
that?
No, I agree. Jahad's not yet.
So he's not a pass rusher, is the point I'm making. Micah Parsons is a pass rusher. You see what he did to Penei Sewell, an all pro right tackle?
Right. Now,
did you watch that?
To be fair, you're comparing current Micah to Jahad. Like,
no, you
but
are.
But Micah played stand up linebacker the first 2 years of his career. Now,
he's always been primarily a rusher.
Even in Dallas, I think the first few years,
might have had somebody. He's always even at Penn State. Like he's always been more of a
now, get I agree after at Penn
the
State.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
Like that's why he's a natural pass rusher.
Right. So I look. Is Jahad Campbell going to turn to Micah Parsons? Probably not. I agree with you there. Right. But when it comes to the 2 first-round picks for a player plus the contract, I agree with you to an extent that he is worth that. He is an unbelievable player. We're seeing the impact he's having in Green Bay. We've just never seen Howie spend that type of capital. And I think when you know the team's not going to accept it, there is a safety net of saying, yeah, I'll give you all this, knowing there's no shot he's trading him to you. And I'm sure Micah wanted to come here, and I'm sure the Eagles were encouraged to be like, try to get him.
You keep dismissing the change in, not only did they pay Zach Bond, not only did they pay Saquon Barkley twice, and not only did they draft a linebacker in the first round, which they haven't done
since 1979.
I understand. I understand your reasoning here, but you're taking all of that evidence and just putting it to the side that they would not do something that they haven't done before. And on top of it, it's a position of need. It weakens a divisional opponent, and we keep talking about first round picks. I'm sorry, the odds that any of those first-round picks are ever going to be as good as this 25, 26-year-old player are slim.
I agree with that.
You know, so I don't think it was a panic move, but it felt a little panicky.
So if they were to do it, my thought process would be they would just go, he's a super special player, and you do it for a super special player. That would be, right? And to your point, I do think there is an excitement and a feather in your cap of taking another division rival's best player like you did with Saquon and putting him on the roster.
Yes.
What I'm saying, though, is while they have acted out of character, those are minor, minor moves compared to this. Jahad Campbell's a fair one, right? Jahad Campbell, a first-round pick, that's a premium asset. Like, that's out of character. But again, I think part of the reason they were willing to do that is because they think he has edge potential. Now, he was awesome at linebacker. Maybe he just stays there. He could just stay there. I'm just saying, I think part of the reason they were okay using the pick on him is because of the edge potential.
Yeah, I don't care about that. I'm talking about their general interest in Michael Parsons. And that, to me, felt real. It seemed real. And I don't understand. To me, I think it's what Howie should have been doing. And the money aspect of it, we've always thought, oh, money this, money that. You don't pay this, you don't pay that. First of all, he took $47 million to go to Green Bay. You take extra to go to Green Bay because it's Green Bay. Who's to say he wouldn't have just taken $42 to come here?
Maybe, yeah. He might have.
To play in his home state, to play in Philadelphia.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, to go to Green Bay, yeah, I'm going to ask for a little extra. I got to go live in freaking Green Bay.
Now, like, all offseason we've heard they can't pay guys because of cash for next offseason. Maybe mm-hmm. Maybe that's not true, right? Like, but then if you sign Micah, I mean, I saw your poll yesterday. I probably would trade Jalen Carter for Micah Parsons. And so if you're going to make a decision between the two.
I didn't know if I would. I knee-jerk reacted and said yes.
No, you knee-jerked and said no.
Did I say no?
I said, would you trade Jalen Carter for Micah Parsons? You go, no. And then you go, wait a minute.
I think I would. And they're both okay. Awesome. But, yeah. But like, yes. He might have to get paid. Nolan Smith might have to get paid. Cooper and Quinion. So maybe the cash is everlasting and it doesn't matter. I'm just saying that's a lot of cash when your whole thing is saving cash.
By the way, the one thing the Eagles do, and we're going to find this out when they do re-sign Jalen after this season, he's going to take a lot less than he would if he was in a fourth year or fifth year. Michael Parsons got paid that much because he was made to wait all the way to his
until
fifth
the
year.
End of his contract.
Yes.
Yeah.
When you sign early, you take a little bit of a discount.
I was also thinking
a little bit of a discount, so he may not even get $40 million.
This is slightly off topic.
He might get $35 million.
So we're all waiting to hear what's going to happen with Jalen Carter. And there's two levels to it. Does the NFL do something, and do the Eagles do something? There is the contract aspect of this, where if he is suspended, that will be something that is brought up in the contract
negotiations. Yeah.
But the other interesting part of this is if the Eagles suspend him, they're almost hurting his value. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, if they suspend him himself, you are hurting his value, and you're the one that's going to have to pay.
I'd be shocked if they suspended him.
So based on...
I'd be surprised.
Mike Florio...
Vic today was pretty...
Mike Florio said... Yeah, we'll get to the Vic audio in a second.
When I say suspend, I mean the entire game.
No, yeah. I got you. Yeah.
Yeah, the entire game.
Mike Florio said when there's suspensions, it usually happens on Monday, so you can appeal by Tuesday and then have it finished by Tuesday. So his point was, if the league is going to suspend him, it's unlikely that's
happening.
Did you
see the follow-up to that?
No, I did not.
So this morning he said... It was funny. He was like, with the good assumption that it would have happened yesterday when it was his assumption. But regardless, like, he said he was told this morning, as in after he said that a suspension is still on the table.
Here's what, do you have what Vic Fangio said about Jalen Carter? Here's what he said.
You've been around Jalen Carter for over a year now. Behind the scenes, how have you seen him maybe step into a leadership role, or just how have you seen him maybe mature
over
the past year since you've been around?
Well, to be considered a leader, actions speak louder than words, and he's got to lead through his actions.
Do you speak to him, or do you leave that to Nick and Howie?
Pretty much Nick on that, when it gets to that extreme, pretty much that.
I have to tell you, his pause after your question, and we all know that they weren't happy with it. I do wonder, we'll see the rest of the year, is like when you're thinking about not only devoting the financial assets to a guy like that, but he is the key to their defense. Yeah. He's the reason that they don't think they need to pay edge. You have to really think about from a can we rely on this guy? It's a big question.
I think they should suspend him. I think what he did is worthy of a suspension. Last night when we were with my Lada, I found it very compelling that he talked, and this was not in relation to Jalen Carter, to be clear, but he talked about how Nick's message leading up to the Dallas game was discipline.
Yeah.
The message all week.
He said all week, and he was very pointed about the way he said it.
All week was discipline. And I just think if you're Nick, all week you're saying things to your players, and there's not many things Jalen Carter could have done that would have been more of a slap in the face to what you said than that. There's just not. And they had to bench him last year. They've been around him. They know maybe suspending him would not be a good thing. Maybe they don't think he'd react to it well. But if you're going to preach again and again and again about culture and about how much culture matters to winning and about all these things, and then this guy spits on the player before the game, gets suspended, costs himself the full game. He's supposed to be a leader of the team. and you slap him on the wrist, I would find that very disappointing. I'm not saying I want him suspended, but I think if we can all remove the Eagles aspect to this, he clearly deserves to be suspended.
Well,
I've been swayed on that.
Yeah, listen, yeah. I said it yesterday.
To your side on
I don't
know
if I said it yesterday or if I said it Friday, that I wouldn't be outraged if he got suspended for a game.
Yeah.
But I also wouldn't be outraged if they took into account he pretty much was suspended that game, right? But I do understand the perception and wanting to sort of set an example so that something like this doesn't happen and sending a clear message that if they were to suspend him for a game or if the league suspended him for a game, again, if the Eagles did it, I would be surprised because it's more of a self-inflicted mm-hmm. thing. But the league doing it, I don't know. If it happens, I'm not going to be upset by it because I think what he did was despicable and disgusting. And if that's what they deem is necessary, I don't have a problem with it. Now, if they don't do anything further, then I would be like, you know what? I don't want to hear about sportsmanship. I don't want to hear about culture. I don't want to hear about any of that if nothing is being done about it. Because what you're doing is setting a bad precedent for what the future could be. And when you're in a position like this team that has already won a Super Bowl and they do a great job of rewarding players with life-changing financial gain, you're just basically feeding a monster.
Yes.
You're just, that's all you're doing because you're basically saying you can do what you want to do and you're still going to get rewarded. You're still going to be rewarded. There's no consequence. So when that happens as a coach and as a culture setter, you got no one to look at but yourself when, what's the saying? Either you're teaching it or you're allowing it to happen.
Right.
So you can't blame anyone but yourself if this starts to become some sort of thing.
Right, what if in week six somebody does something similar?
Yes.
And I get, just quickly, get that I know if it's Moro, Jomo, or whoever, it's easier to suspend them. I get it. But I also think there's a powerful aspect to suspending a great player. Like Belichick used to say in the meetings, he would rip Tom Brady because it mattered more. So I just think this is a real opportunity for Nick to send a message.
I also think it means more if the Eagles suspend him than if the league does.
I agree with that.
Because Jalen Carter could, if I'm just thinking about the mentality of him, if I'm Jalen Carter, if the league suspends me, I could say, screw the league or whatever.
Right.
If my coach suspends me,
the team that
I want to give me $180 million, that's a big difference.
Well, because also, if the league does it, they can all play victim together. The coaches and can be like, oh, it's unfortunate you were suspended, blah, blah, blah. Right. If the team does it, there is no hiding that they are disappointed in what he
did. But it seems like they're going to do something because Nick said the whole behind the scenes, it'll be handled in-house. It seems like they're going to do something.
I thought the use of the word extreme by Vic Fangio was telling. When he said when it rises to this level of extreme, that's above me.
Yeah.
It was not a vibe of, hey, he did it, he messed up, we're moving on.
Yeah, they
could have said that, by the way.
Yeah.
Multiple times this week, they could have said, look, what he did was wrong. We're moving on to the Chiefs. We'll talk about it internally, but we're moving on. That's not how they've handled it.
Fangio sounded pissed off. He sounded pissed off. So you can get the Go Birds podcast wherever you get your podcast. That is Elliot Shore-Parks. Comes out every single day. Go Birds Daily.
Every day.
You cannot miss it.
It's good being back to our normal selves.
I know. It's not talking training camp stats.
It's been a while.
By the way, Elliot, some great reports from other reporters. Jimmy Kemsky on the conditions for the Bryce Huff trade. Whether it's a fourth round pick or fifth
Love
round
Kempsey.
Pick.
Love Kempsey. Good job by him.
D Gunn on the fractured rib for.
Yeah. Were you at E?
Yeah. For
I'm
Will Shipley.
The belt. That's okay. Where I'm at. But we'll see if I can. We'll see if I can hold on.
Hey,
to
we said complacency mindset here.
Yeah. I got to say, D Gunn. Like, what a goat. Like, just talk about, just like years of this. Not.
215-592-9494. Joining us next, Eagles tackle Jordan Mailata, as he will join us every Tuesday at 4 o'clock. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.